Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Arise before you in the fear of the Lord. Pray for me as we go through this message again this morning. Just a drop of thought concerning Sunday school. I see next Sunday's lesson begins with Revelation. Brethren, as you take your turn to teach, take courage. I know some people like to back away from Revelation because I don't understand it. Well, we probably all don't understand it fully like God does. But Revelation, it tells you, blessed is those that read the book. You know, it's not for us maybe to fully all understand, but let us read it and discuss it. This morning, I want to go to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel is an outstanding character, as I thought of Daniel. I could liken him as Joseph in Egypt. They both had some similarities. Thinking of Judah coming, he came from Judah. Judah was in a very deplorable state due to their apostasy, like we were studying about in Sunday school. But they were giving many, many warnings. Prophet Jeremiah, Ezekiel were very faithful in trying to get the people to understand where they're headed. And judgment is coming if they don't change their ways. For decades, they were warned that the rulers of Judah, that their idolatry, immorality, unjust toward poor and needy would lead the nation's ruin. The prophets saw the day coming because God envisioned that to them. They also envisioned the Babylonian army to come and destroy Jerusalem and the temple and take people captive. God would rather have his people living in shameful captivity in a pagan land than living like pagans in a holy land and disgracing his name. Does that make sense? Rather live in a shameful estate in a pagan land rather than living in a like a pagan in a holy land. Because they were supposed to live in a holy land as a holy people. You know, as the Babylonians took over Jerusalem, they had come to Judah maybe at least three times. The second time, I understand, they came and they surrounded the city and they took the city captive and burnt the city and burnt the temple. That experience, people looking on, looks like the pagans won. God was still overseeing. God was still in control. Later, Belshazzar, which would be maybe a grandson to Nebuchadnezzar, would use some of the holy vessels that they took out of the temple, the golden vessels, to make a, like we would call them, maybe a party with all their princes and drink out of these holy golden cups and praising their own gods. Imagine. Shame. Felt no shame. In that night, in chapter 5, in verses 30 and 31, says, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, just like Daniel prophesied. And Darius the Medan took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. In fact, some God, the same God that raised up the Babylonians to defeat Judah later raised up the Medians and Persians to conquer Babylon. Same God, same control. God was still in control. The Lord also ordained that a pagan ruler decree that the Jews could return to their land and rebuild the wall and the temple. God can change the heart of the king. So wise and powerful is our God that he can permit men and women to make personal choices and still accomplish his purposes in the world. You and I, we make personal choices. Right there, I want to say something. I was going to write it on the board, but I was too bashful. Eternal destiny is a choice, not a chance. Let's remember that. Eternal destiny is a choice, not a chance. You don't by chance get into heaven. You make personal choices to get into heaven. Amen? Now, I want to read just one thing that Daniel said in verse 8, the first chapter. Then I want to read the chapter a little later here. But Daniel purposed in his heart, notice that, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat and continue on. Purpose in heart. Can we live today in this sin-cursed world with all the evil around us, having a purpose of heart? You know, I was just trying to reel my mind what just took place in just the last couple, 2-3 weeks. There was 50 plus men, or I guess men, slain in Florida by an evil person, of course. 5 policemen slain in Dallas, Texas. Then I just read 80 plus people were slain in Nice, France, not by a gun, but by a vehicle, a maniac in a vehicle. Our world is out of control. No, it's not. God is still in control. God is still in control. Can you and I live a purposeful, meaningful, godly life in a sin-cursed society when life is very cheap? What makes the evil abounding in the world today is because a lot of these people that are doing these evil things, it's in the name of religion. And they feel good about it. That's sad. Let's read Daniel 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Babylonian, unto Jerusalem and beseeched it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, I'm not sure if I'm saying these words right, but bear with me, the master of his eunuchs, that he would bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, of whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And unto them the prince of the eunuchs gave names. He gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael, to Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel in favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, and I beseech thee 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal thy servants with thy servants. So he consented to them in this manner, and proved them 10 days, and in the end of 10 days their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melshar took away the portion of the meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. And as for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were all of his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Way I understand, Daniel served there in that kingdom for 70 years. First of all, going back to verses 1 and 2, we've seen that God allowed this victory in Jerusalem, in Judea. He allowed them because he had passed judgment upon them. And God had made a covenant with the people of Israel, promising that he would care for them if they obeyed his statutes, but if they disobeyed, he would chasten them and scatter them among the Gentiles. That's what God promised them. So in 605 BC, before Christ, Nebuchadnezzar became as king in Babylon. That September is when that incident took place. He came into Palestine and surrounded Jerusalem and conquered the city, burnt the city, burnt the temple, killed many, took only the wisest and the strongest, and then the commentator said, and the most beautiful. He only wanted the best, okay? For the one purpose, for his use, for his kingdom. Daniel and his 3 friends were amongst those. I understand that Daniel was in Jerusalem. I don't understand how you could go in, conquer the land, and take the wisest. How do you know that quick? I often wonder me how they did that. I don't know. Imagine being Daniel. You're 15, 16 years of age, and this incident took place. We don't hear anything about the parents. You're going 1,000 miles away from home. Strange land, strange people. How about it, 15-year-olds? Would you like that? That would be quite an adjustment. Went into Babylon. Verses 3 and 4, we see this was a remnant group. I call it a dedicated remnant. four people can make a difference. Sometimes we think, well, with just one person. One person can make a difference. Daniel made a huge difference. Remnant means a small portion, that which remains after part is removed. In other words, a surviving few who preserve the traditions of a culture. That's what Daniel and his three friends were doing. Brethren and sisters, there is always going to be a remnant of God's people. Always. And every era of time. And I was thinking of that. I was thinking of Noah. Eight souls were saved out of millions. Eight souls. Read anything that children were taken on the ark. Here we have four outstanding individuals. But I'm convinced, one thing I'm convinced about Daniel and his friends, they had godly parents. That's what I'm convinced. I don't know. I can't go to the scriptures and say that. But that's sort of what I'm thinking. While these four young men were superior in every way, the brightest and the best, prepared by God for God and to do God's work and show the heathen who God is. That's the intention of God's overseeing, overruling in this whole situation. That the heathen would see God. Even though they were worse off in a sense than these here apostate Jews in that land, but yet God had a love for these heathen people too. Well, the way I understand it, they had went into a training process of 3 years. It was a great honor to be trained in the officers of the king's palace. But I would imagine you had a strange land, strange people, strange language, different culture practices. All these they had to be taught. The king's goal was that these Jewish boys would adopt themselves in the ways and the thinkings of the Babylonians. That was the king's goal. Remember, they were at a young age. They were pliable. Captives were always taken for the benefit of the conqueror's kingdom. They left the others behind. Daniel and his friends had a master. They had to master the Babylonian history and science. The Babylonian people were great builders, calculators, and military superiority. They built that great city of Babylon with hanging gardens and you can name it. Great architecture. World-known government at that time. Now, first of all, we want to look at a difficult trial that they went through. Here they came on, they were learning. Then in verse 5, it came to be a trial. Here comes one of their tests. The king wanted to feed them the provisions of the king's meat. And also, what they did, they changed their names. They wanted to change their diet, change their names, try to ingrain them into the Babylonian system. Now, there's interesting what the names of these names that they were given and what the meaning of it was. Daniel's name means God is my judge. He was changed to Belshazzar, which meaning Bel, which is a heathen god, protect his life. Hananiah means the Lord show grace. He was changed to Shadrach, meaning command of AKU. is a moon god. Michelle means who is like God. Change Meshach, which means who is a Akai is. Who is Akai is. Not sure what all that means, but it's concerning that moon god. Azariah means the Lord is my helper. Change to Abednego means servant of Nebo, is another Babylonian god. Understand? They were named after the Babylonian gods. Okay? Their names of their true and living God were replaced by the names of false gods. Now, the king's goal was that these young men would lose their Jewish identity to the Babylonian identity. Satan is still in the same business today. Same business. He has a little more experience. A little more experience today. He deceives us. We are being deceived and deceiving. He is in the deceiving business. Also, they were educated in the Chaldean education, trying to reprogram. They also tried to change their loyalty by changing their names. But one outstanding thing, they changed their names, but they couldn't change their character. They couldn't change their character. What they believed, they believed. Now, what was wrong with eating the king's meat? That would be a delicacy. Why wouldn't we eat the best? Why wouldn't we eat the best? Well, a couple questions. The Jewish custom was you had to make sure the blood was all drained out of the animal. That's one thing. All right? Number two, most likely the meat was offered to idols before you ate it. All right? Number two. Number three, Leviticus 11 gives a list of unclean animals which they were not to eat. Probably they had pork. The heathen people would eat pork, and they were not to eat pork. So in this respect, they were purposed in their heart that they were not going to defile themselves with the king's meat. You know, too often we are tempted with compromise our standards and live more like the world around us. You know, they could have compromised. Well, we're in a heathen place. This probably won't matter. No one's around. But you know, they were convinced. They were convinced going against God if they eat the things that God prohibited them from eating. So we must be like Daniel, purpose, resolve, with a strong belief. Daniel was not easily persuaded, even though you feel like the odds were against him. But Daniel, I believe, also felt the blessings of God. You know, as we experience the blessing of God, it's only due to the fact that we remain obedient to God. Then we can feel the blessings of God. Well, Daniel and his friends made their decisions to be faithful to the laws of God before they faced the king's delicacies. I think they were convicted before. They had made these decisions before they were faced with these temptations. You know, we get ourselves into trouble sometimes because we don't have some decisions previously made until we come to the point. But we got to have some of them decisions made in our heart before we come to that point. Now, we also see here in verses 9 through 16, we see that Daniel was gifted, and God has gifted him. And God has all gifted him in favor and tender love with a eunuch that was set over him. I can see Daniel as a gifted, wisdom-filled man with a good relating skills. That's how I see Daniel, a gifted man relating to others. That reminds me of a Psalms 141:3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Imagine if you could have such a spirit within you that your enemies could be at peace with you. Jehoshaphat in the Old Testament was an example of that. He did exactly that. They taught the word of God in the cities, and they had peace with their neighbors. They taught the book of the law. Judah believed the law, and then they were a peace-loving people. And the neighbors the neighbors, they had peace with their neighbors. And that is a very, very outstanding illustration of God blesses. 2 Chronicles 17, 3-5. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and he sought not unto Balaam. He sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought unto Jehoshaphat presents, and he and the riches and honor and abundance. Now in verse 10 it says, and the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were around about Judah, so that he made no war against Jehoshaphat. That was the blessings of God. Seeking peace and a peace-loving heart. Now, verse 12. Here comes a test. He says, well, we want to eat pulse for 10 days. Pulse is vegetables and water. That's what they had. Vegetables and water for 10 days. And then we'll do that test. Now, of course, the eunuch, he felt he was going to get in trouble with the king if he was not going to feed them what they were appointed to eat. But we see that Daniel and his friend took a wise approach and asked just for a 10-day experiment in this 3-year period. Just a 10-day experiment. Because these men, they're supposed to look the best, intelligent, right before when the king sees them. Okay? They did that for a 10-day, and they were, how's it say? Fairer, fatter than all the others. Now, was it what they ate? Or was it God the blessing? I think God was in it. Not but they just because they ate vegetables. I think it was because God was in it. When it comes to solving problems of life, we must ask God for the courage to face a problem humbly and honestly. I think that's what Daniel did. The wisdom to understand it, the strength to do what it tells us to do, and the faith to trust him to do the rest. You know, when we come facing up a situation like Daniel and his men, you know, they did what they could, and then they let God do the rest. Verse 17, we see here that God gave them knowledge. That we must understand. They studied and applied themselves, but God gave them the skill, or we could say the increase. Wisdom is how to apply and relate to God's truth. Discernment is understanding something, and then wisdom is applying it. That's where these men were outstanding. These four men did not have a choice in the fact what they were taught, but they had a choice in the fact what they believed. There's two different things, what you're taught and what you believe. In this strange land was two different things. Well, the Lord gave Daniel a special gift of understanding visions and dreams. In the first half of the book of Daniel, we see Daniel interpreting visions and dreams, but in the half book, the other half of the book, we see Daniel receiving visions from the Lord. Now we see that the king himself was very interested in the outcome of this experiment of teachings, education, wisdom and learning and knowledge, and they came before Nebuchadnezzar, the king himself. He took an interest and time to examine them. Why? Well, since they were the new graduates to be personal advisors, the king wanted to make sure he was getting the best. You know, even our kings and presidents today even have advisors, and that's what these men were to do. You know, as Daniel and these three men took their position in the kingdom, there became jealousy. The others became jealous. We can read that in Daniel 6. They made a decree that they were not supposed to pray. Only to the king is the only thing they could give allegiance to, and I'm putting in my own words. But yet Daniel prayed. Daniel chose to pray. You know, actually, they chose to fight against Daniel's God. You know, Daniel and his friends had to work alongside of these men, yet they remained pure and gave a powerful testimony for the Lord. Think of that. You know, we rub shoulders with the society around us. Can we give a personal testimony for the Lord? Think of the impact that these four men had in a heathen nation. They interpreted dreams, even a dream that the king couldn't even explain to him, couldn't even reveal to him. God gave him the dream to Daniel, and he also revealed the dream, and he interpreted it. Now, did these four men make a difference in this heathen nation? I feel they did. After they were delivered from the fiery furnace, lion's den, the Nebuchadnezzar made some very good statements. You know, anybody that goes against the God of these men is going to be torn into pieces. That's how Nebuchadnezzar, he was finally convinced they had the true and right living God. What was the key to Daniel's life? What was the key? When he was threatened, what did he do? When he didn't know where to go with the vision, what did he do? Prayer. He prayed and trusted in God. That's a success. That's why Daniel had success in his life. He understood that, but there's a sovereign God overruling. You know, I was thinking and reading concerning, studying concerning this book of Daniel. We don't read anywhere in the book of Daniel concerning personal sin. We don't read anything like that. Does it because he was such a righteous man? I don't know. But I think the book emphasizes the overruling power of God. I think that's what the book is emphasizing. Living a life of purpose begins with God. Without God, life is meaningless and unfulfilling. Well, the world is full with people today living, trying to find fulfillment in life. Going here, doing this, doing that. Where is fulfillment in life? Where is your purpose for living? Is it God? The battle of sin is won or lost in your mind. Whatever gets attention will get you. Keep focused on the love and obeying God. I'd like, in closing, to read the blessings that God gives in Revelations to the churches. Revelation chapter 2, I want to read a couple verses here that Jesus himself gives blessings. Verse 7, chapter 2 of Revelation. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Notice, the word overcometh, there is a battle. I will give to eat of the tree of life. Verse 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. What does that mean? Second death. That means death simply means separation. The second death means eternal separation from God at the final judgment. He that overcometh shall not be hurt by this. 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that received it. You're going to get a new name. And we're going to also eat of the hidden manna. Verse 25. But that which ye have already... Let me start over. But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give the power over the nations. What does that mean? To give power over the nations. I guess I'm going to just say, I believe when Christ comes to rule over the earth, we'll be with him. Like it says in Revelation 20, verse 4, of the 1,000-year reign. I'm going to read a verse. Our brother read in devotions, Psalm 73. There's a verse, 73:28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. I hope that's our testimony this morning. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I need God. Eternal destiny is a choice, not a chance. It's a choice. Daniel purposed and his friends purposed. They persevered. They pressed. They had convictions. They're going to serve God. Obey God. No matter where they were. Heathen nation. You know. That study in Daniel here for me has really touch my heart, because you know, when you get alone, then the real you comes out. Isn't that right? When you're alone, the real you comes out. Let us kneel to pray.